Phoenix has become the first city in the country to open a publicly funded Office of Heat Response and Mitigation. That's part of nearly $3 million to deal with heat and climate change in the most recent city budget. Miami, Florida now also has a similar office, but its is privately funded. Phoenix recently named the new and first ever director of that office, ASU climate and health scientist David Handula. He started with the city earlier this month, and when I spoke with him, I asked how he plans to prioritize where he puts his office's efforts and efforts and resources, at least at first.
Thanks, Mark, for the opportunity to chat. And you're right, there is a big challenge ahead for the heat office in the city of Phoenix, and indeed for all cities across the United States, where heat has historically fallen through our governance gaps. It's not clearly a hazard that's the responsibility of emergency management. It's not clearly the responsibility of human services or sustainability. And while we know that a lot of folks in city government, both here in Phoenix and elsewhere, are really concerned about some of the challenges associated with heat and making cities cooler, it hasn't until very recently been the entirety of their jobs to do so. To speak to your question about priorities, first and foremost, the office is intended to have a dual and equal focus on heat response, which we think of as strategies to protect people and keep them safe when it is hot, and heat mitigation, which are largely longer term strategies to cool the city and make it safer.
So when you look at the issue of heat response, heat mitigation, are you focusing more on trying to do things that will stop things from getting worse here? Are you looking at trying to do things that will maybe ultimately cool this city off and make things better here? Like, how do you try to determine which is the most efficient way to approach this?
Yeah, well, we're absolutely trying to split our thinking 50-50 between protecting people from heat emergencies as they happen here every year. 191 heat-related deaths just in the city of Phoenix in 2020. The numbers are still being tabulated for 2021, but of course we'll be looking at those closely. But getting people into shelter, putting a water bottle in their hands, putting an umbrella in their hands for shade while they wait for a bus, 50% of our time on those types of programs, and 50% of the time thinking about those longer-term cooling strategies that you mentioned. We'll be working very closely with ASU and other partners that can help us evaluate our work. A great example is the Cool Pavement Pilot Program that's been widely documented in our region. So we will be absolutely relying a lot on evaluation, more pilot scale projects, and when we're ready to go, not hesitating to ask for resources to scale them up.
So you mentioned working with ASU, and that is, of course, where you have worked for a while, doing this kind of research for several years now. Where is the technology in terms of things like cool pavement or, you know, other kinds of things that might be coming, that might be being developed right now that can help you in this effort?
Yeah, there are some really exciting technology developments that we are excited to continue to explore and experiment with. You know, in terms of heat response and even heat mitigation, not every strategy has to be high tech. Putting a water bottle in somebody's hand can make a difference. Putting a tree in the ground, that can make a difference. So we can't be ignoring low or no tech solutions that we think can be a really important part of the heat solution portfolio. But technology continues to develop by the minute. There's been a really exciting pilot project in our neighbors to the east, Tempe, looking at a particularly reflective film on the roof of bus stops that not only reflects more sunlight out into the environment, but actually makes the, you know, it appears that it makes the environment under the canopy cooler than it otherwise would have been. So we're getting benefits above and beyond reflectivity. I think we see, you know, especially with the increasing narrative and attention to heat in the national media, I think we're going to see the market respond to that and continue to develop products, technology, services that we need to be looking at closely.
I want to ask you about the issue of shade and trees. And the city has been talking about trying to increase its tree canopy and its overall the amount of shade that is in the city. I know you are new into this office, but from what you've been able to glean so far, why is it proving to be so challenging for the city to get more trees in the ground and to really increase the amount of shade that it has that can cool things off?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of our job in the new office is to acknowledge and transparently communicate the point you just raised, that it has been very hard for our city and indeed many other cities to make progress on tree and shade goals. 2010 was a really difficult time for cities to make any sort of investments. But I think some of the shortcomings that are reflected in the city's current climate and heat readiness investment in the budget were also factors. Didn't have adequate personnel with sufficiently broad reach and authority to coordinate programs across city government. And we really didn't have much in the way of resources allocated to get more trees in the ground. And that is a deficiency that the current budget works to overcome. The commitment for at least 1,800 trees per year as part of the Cool Corridors initiative, which will really prioritize some of our most underserved areas.
Are you optimistic that by the time the heat rolls around again, you know, next spring or so, that you will have some of these things in place that will make the city more ready to deal with the heat of 2022 than it has been in years past, even if it's not some of the longer term things you're talking about, maybe just things as simple as having more water bottles and cooling towels for folks?
The answer to that question has to be yes. And if the answer is not yes, we've failed as an office in our first, what I would say is 5.5 months here looking at the calendar. I think April 1st, we need to be ready to go. The first heat-related death in Maricopa County last year was recorded on April 11th. April 11th, 2 months before the start of summer proper. Yeah. So we need to be ready to go by early April. And I think ready to go means more trees in the ground, which we know we're going to be able to do through that Cool Corridors investment. I think it means having some more of those resources available that you talked about, water bottles, cooling towels. Of course, that can't be the entirety of our solution to solve our heat challenges, but I think we do need to be ready to go with some of those tangible products. And I think we can do so. I'm encouraged by some of the conversations we're having already. And I think it also means that our programs operate, as we talked about earlier, in a more connected, synergistic, coordinated way. And that's progress that it may not be as visible in a first year to the community, that it's inside City Hall. We are more coordinated in terms of how we're operating cooling centers, for example. That coordination, I think, will take a little bit of time to manifest itself in terms of what people can see in particular with respect to services that are provided at cooling centers. But we need to see progress on that coordination mechanism as well. And we're already starting those conversations in our first 2 weeks of existence.
All right. That is Dave Hondula, Director of the Office of Heat Response and Mitigation with the City of Phoenix. Dave, nice to talk to you. Thank you. And good luck.
Thanks, Mark. And we absolutely welcome input from the public as we move forward.